Bobby Jones, NSC, and the wonderful voice of Faith Eddie.
All right. Rejoice with me. Amen. And greetings, each of you by the very means of internet radio. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Truly, it is an honor to be in your presence on this evening, wherever you may be all around the world. We're glad to bring you great gospel music and a wonderful inspirational message on this evening. And so the music was wonderful. Let's get some commercials out the way, and we're going to keep it moving forward. Amen.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
You got me, you need it. Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Now let's go and see where you're going to be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, because they built your love through. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your hurry. Your dreams may never come. That's what brought you this far. Yeah. You got your dreams and you got your prayers and you got your God. He will take you home. Everybody has a season. And I believe this one's yours. Because you've been working, waiting, this what you've been praying.
Offer it up.
For the gift it will make room.
Uh-huh.
Position for bringing the kingdom.
looking good.
Looking good on you.
I say your gift.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Looking, it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
Looking, it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has
graced you.
And you wear it.
All right, Cody,
well.
Help me out. You wear it? Works for you.
It looks good.
Tell somebody, just be you.
It looks good on you.
Uh-huh.
It looks good on you.
Can't be a better you than you.
Good.
And you wear.
And you wear it well.
God has graced you.
God has graced
yeah.
you.
And come
you
on, let's take it up.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
That means if God been good to you already, you have a testimony to fall back on to encourage you for this next encounter. Hey, there was a professor that had a class of students, and he offered them an opportunity to make their first A at the first part of the semester. He said, if you can accomplish this task, and you will win a easy A for my class. And he brought out on a tray a big, big pickle jar. You know, the big, that real big pickle jar that take both hands to hold. Amen. He brought that big pickle jar on a silver tray. On that silver tray, he had a couple of big rocks, just big enough to fill inside the mouth of that pickle jar. And next to these couple of big rocks, there were some smaller rocks. And they equal in about size or quantity as the three other big rocks that was there. And then there were some other smaller rocks. Besides that, then there were some marbles, and then there was a pack of sand, just regular old sand. And he began to tell them, and your task today is to fill this jar up with the material that is on the tray. And many of the students began to say, oh, man, that's an easy A. Wow, I got me an A. I got me an A. And he walked out of the classroom. He said, by the way, there is a time limit. And he gave them a time limit, and he left the class. But he returned to the class just a little bit later, only to find out that he had returned to the class, that many of the students that were there was now frustrated. Some of them was even using words that wasn't appropriate in the school. Well, why was this? Because none of them in the class was able to get all of the material that was on the tray into that pickle jar. And they began to cry out foul, teacher, you set us up, this, that, and the other. And they were upset. And he said, it is a simple task. And so you had one of the students that said, it is impossible. You cannot get all of that in this jar. It doesn't fit. It's too much. It won't all fit in. Well, after this next song, I will come back and tell you how they did it. Yes, they were.
Pastor Bonnet, do you mind after the break? Can I tell you how he did it? Because I know how he did it.
You want to jump in there and spoil it. I got you. I believe you know how to do it, preacher. You should know it because
I'm a good packer. I know how to pack trucks and stuff, and I know how he did it.
It was a simple task. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And we're coming right back after this song from Tiffany Evans and others. Amen.
Now, I told you guys you could tag team. You guys go for it.
And we will be okay. Father, we need you to help families today.
Father, can you hear me? I'm calling on your name. Not for the normal, but if Jesus required our love, Father, just forgive us. Hear us when we say, and we
somebody say yes. Amen. We need you, Father. Amen. Every now and then we need to stop and recognize God in our midst and ask him for directions and guidance. Too often time we pick up and run and we forget to ask him to come along with us and to help us in our everyday. Amen. I put out a little challenge that this professor did for his students. I have a partaker in Missionary Ken who would like to make a honest attempt in how he was able to put these three big rocks and these other few smaller rocks and these stones and these marbles and this sand all in this jar. Can you tell us how it was done?
Well, it's the same way I load a truck when I where a lot of people make mistakes in loading a truck, and then they end up with stuff over that they can't fit, they try loading the smaller stuff first and then put the bigger things at the end. Nope. How you do it and how he told them it was supposed to be done. You start off with the big rocks first. Then you start with the next size down, filling in the gaps and holes. Then you drop down to the next size, filling in even smaller holes. Then the next size down, filling even more of the holes. And when you get all the way done, down to the sand, filling in the tiniest holes, which fills the jar.
Exactly right. You know, it's funny that oftentimes in life, we start off with small things, and we think that because they're small, we can do them on our own, and they're not important, and they're not worthy for us to bring before God and to ask God about. We figure we got that under control. But as time will go on, and it does for all of us, we find ourselves getting to the end of the year, and the things that we say we was going to accomplish that year, we find ourselves with all the big items still on the table. And even if we had the big items done, many of us still have room to get the other things done, but just don't know how. One of the biggest things that we can do first and foremost in all that we do, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, says, seek first the kingdom of God. That when we seek the kingdom of God, which is God's way of doing things, the kingdom of God, the God rule here on earth as it is in heaven, when we begin to seek God direction, God order, God instruction, God's righteousness, is then and only then can we see how we can renew all of the big items and take the smaller items and work them in between the gaps and fill everything in. The Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So when we begin to go after God's righteousness, then and only then can we truly have the fulfillment that we need in our lives. Amen and amen. So once again, Missionary Ken, bing, 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 bing. You got it right, sir. Directly.
Well,
on...
like I said, it comes Pastor Bonnet from my experience of packing a truck more times than I like to count. And Emily will even tell you that I've helped her move several times, and she knows how much I could fit on the kind of a small truck, but I could fit quite a bit on that little small truck.
Yeah, and you can do it on the rig too.
That is wonderful.
Hi, Emily. How are you doing, honey?
I'm trying to be good.
Amen. Well, once again, I want to say hello to everyone. God bless you, Missionary Ken. Thank you always. Sister Ruth, God bless you. I want to say God bless Brother Charles. That's sick, Mr. Six Eyes himself, Princess Mikhail and Mama Sanford. And we want to say thank you to Sister Emily and her father-in-law and everyone else that's on the line, whether it be Sister Lila and just a host of others that are on the line with us this evening. We want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully you've been enjoying the music that's been played so far. Amen. On yesterday, there was some technical difficulties that interfered with the message. So I'm going to take a step back later on this evening and go back over the lesson in a few details. Because it's very important that as kingdom citizens, which we the believers are, it's very important for us to have success. Amen. And so we want you to have success. Amen. Someone's doing something there on the line. We may have your mic open, but if you're involved in anything that's making a lot of noise, please be kind and mute your line for us. Thank you so very, very much. Once again,
at Pastor Bonnet, what you might hear is my fan going there.
All righty. Well, we understand it's hot and we need some air. Amen. I had to move mine out of the way so it would not cause a hum on the system. Amen. Once
Does
again,
that sound better faster?
All right. Ruben Studdard has a song called Flying Without Wings. Let us hear.
Everybody's looking for that something, one thing that makes it all complete. You'll find it in the strangest places you never knew it could be. Some find it in the faces of their children. Some find it in the lover's eyes. Who can deny the joy it brings when you find that special thing? You're flying without wings. Some find it sharing every Thank you.
Testimony time. Y'all know I love to kick out the show on Mondays with a testimony. Amen. I believe the word of God. In Revelation it said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Since my voice is a little challenged on today, I thought it wise not to try to sing my song, which y'all know I sure enough love singing my song. So I went on ahead and found the choir that was singing the song, Believe I Testify. I'm going to tell the whole world what the Lord has done for me. Amen. If there's anybody on the line today that would like to just give God some glory, remember here, a testimony service is not you telling 5 minutes, 2 minutes about what the devil done and then give God a 30-second praise, 15-second praise. No. We don't do that at all. We want to highlight what God is doing, what God has done for us in our life. So we want to make the most of it be about him and not about us, and show enough of not about the circumstance that had us down. Because the victory is whatever you went through, God brought you through. Whatever you're going through, God will bring you out. The victory is God has been good to you. He's been good to me. I sure can testify about that. He's been good to me. He woke me up early this morning. My name made the world list. Hallelujah. He gave me strength, oh God, to go out and get it and to return with it. What did I go out and get? I went out and got some money. I went out and built the business. I went out and worked and accomplished some things that got the work done. Amen. Amen. Got a few new customers. Amen. So all I can do is tell you, God's been good to me. Amen. That's my testimony. He's been good to me. I don't know how he does it, and I ain't trying to figure it out. All I am is so glad that he does it for me. Amen. And I'm going to tell the story how I made it over. Amen. And anybody else? 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. Testify. Come on, somebody.
Testify.
I want to thank the Lord tonight that earlier today, with all this heat, usually what happens, and it did, it triggered a migraine on me, but thank the Lord that I got over it in time for the show, and here I am, was able to help out and do my part in getting the show off to a running start, and I want to just thank the Lord for it. Amen.
Amen, and you did a wonderful job. Amen, and I sure thank God for good help. I don't know about y'all, because there's some people that'll help you, but they ain't good at it. I'm glad I got some good help. Amen. Over here at the Six Eyes Network, amen, we have some good team members. We have some good help. So we want to say thank you. Thank you, Brother Six, for putting us together. Amen. I don't know how you did it, but I'm so glad that God did it to you. Amen, amen. I see you on the line. Why don't you holler at the people and say something at some point? I heard Sister Emily about to give a testimony. Now make sure you give God some glory, Sister Emily. Come on now with it.
Okay, earlier today I went out. I thank God I was able to get out today and help Kenny with what he needed. And then when I got home, I got really good news by text message from the doctor. They have now stopped the radiation and chemo, and in about 8 months, I will get my bone marrow transplant.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. We know that has you feeling we're ill after the treatments, and well, we thank God for the good news. Amen. We're moving in the right direction. Amen. Thank God. All right. Anybody
else? Did you say Eugene Six out there?
Yeah, where is Six? May I say hi to him?
He's there, just ain't got his coffee yet.
He got to unmute his line
because his mic is open. Amen. So he just might have to unmute his line. Amen.
Hey, Pastor Bonnie, I know what's wrong with Six.
What's wrong with it, Mama?
He needs to wake up, smell the coffee, and go see if the water's wet.
You know, these two are so funny, Pastor Bonnet. I think they could have their own comedy part section of the show, you know. But I got a blind joke.
And I hope it's tasteful. But I got a blind joke, and I really do hope it's tasteful. I learned this a long, long time ago. There was this man that was blind. He decided to travel. And this was his first time taking a airplane to travel by. He was going down to Texas, and they was telling him that everything in Texas is big. And so the whole time, every time when somebody asked him, where you going? He said, I'm going to Texas. He said, wow, man, they sure are big there. And everything is big in Texas. And so he got on the plane, and everything was going well, and the plane had a connecting flight, and the stewardess, they were very helpful to him. And where are you going? He said, I'm going to Texas. She said, you better be careful because everything is big in Texas. And long story short, he got off the plane, and he was now in Texas. And he was going to travel some, and he went and stopped at this bar and grill location. And as he got in, the people was greeting him and everything, and say, "Watch it now, that's a big one there." And he said, "I'm just trying to make it to the restroom." Well, he didn't realize that this particular bar and grill was connected to an hotel as well. And the person told him to go down the hallway to the second door to the left. And inadvertently, he should have told him to the right. Well, he went to the left of the second door, and when he went in, he walked into the pool area unaware. And when he walked in, he fell in, and somebody said, are you all right? And he said, please don't flush. Don't flush. Don't flush. Because everything in Texas is big.
Actually, I heard that same joke, but it was told about a truck driver.
Is that the one you and I got told that one run that we did
Yeah. But speaking about blind jokes, I got one for you there, Pastor Bonnet. There's this blind guy, and he had a CNI dog, right?
Uh-huh.
He had a CNI dog, and he went into this store, this real big, like, grocery department store, right? And all of a sudden, he picks up this dog, and he starts picking a big old German Shepherd, and he picks it up, and he goes up and down the aisles. He's going up and down the aisles, just not doing anything, not buying anything. He's just walking up and down the aisles, up and down the aisle, up and down the aisle. And finally, one of the workers decides to see if this guy needs some help, because all he's doing is going up and down the aisles, up and down the aisle, up and down the aisle. And she walks up to him and says, "Sir, do you need some help?" And he goes, "No, we're just looking around."
Pastor Bonnet, the first time he ever told me that one, I got to laughing so hard I had to borrow his bathroom.
Okay, since he got that one, Pastor Bonnet, did you ever hear the old Helen Keller doll joke?
I don't think I heard that one.
You wind her up, she runs into the wall.
Now, wasn't she the one that was blind and mute?
Yep, that's her. Blind and deaf. So you get it? If you got a Helen Keller doll, you wind her up, she runs into the wall.
Did she make a sound?
No.
That sounds like some of them old Hot Wheels they used to have back in the day. You wind them up, they spin around, and they run into the wall and flip upside down. I got one more before our next track. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, well, don't you know, Pastor Bonnet?
I got this one.
They could run into a wall.
Say that again.
I said, even when people, no matter if they're legally blind, totally blind, whatever, or even have night blindness, sometimes they even run into the wall. Because I've done that a few too many times.
Well, I was going to say, I think sighted people run into the wall every night, man. Especially you get up, you sleep, you don't want to turn the lights on. You run into the wall, and your feet run into the bedpost, and your mouth say all kind of stuff you ain't supposed to say. But in a which way.
You know what I did one time?
Yeah, but Mr. Ken always tells me to quit taking over his job.
Yeah, see, when I'd run into the walls, I'm just being the official city building inspector.
Yeah, well, I run into
the walls to make sure they're still standing.
I don't run into walls. I run into boxes. I ran a foot right into a box and broke my toe once. So I really didn't do good on that point. But I do want to praise the Lord for something he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. All I can tell you is there's something going on inside my body that is healing, and I believe God's doing it. So I'm just working on keep on praising him, and he's doing some work.
Amen. He's definitely doing it. He's definitely healing your body. You have a host of believers praying with you for your total healing. Amen. And we know sometimes things take a process of time, but we know that in due time, you shall reap that reward. Just don't faint. Don't give up. Keep holding on. God loves you. He cares. Amen. And that's for our listeners. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and all thy mind. And lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord and watch him direct your path. He'll do it if you let it. That's the beauty of it. He's not going to just come in and dominate and take over. Nah, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman in a sense. He is the Paracletus. He's going to resound to you the words of the Father, and he's going to give you opportunity to make a sound decision to follow. And when you make that choice, you find yourself in a better position than you once was. I was on earlier today, one of my first customers that I decided to help today. I met this customer. I was taking care of another older customer across the street from him. And he came out, and he's been having some back troubles and issues with some things. And he was able to take care of his front yard, but he was not able to manage the backyard. And it had gotten really and truly out of control. And he had asked others, other yard people to give him a quote. And he had quotes as high as $85 and different and higher. The lowest he had was $85. And I know what I start on a cleanup job for backyards, generally around $65 for a standard size yard. And you go up from there, depending on what needs to be lifted or anything of that nature. And I just felt like giving them a real discount. And when I told him how much, his astonishment came out as, "Whoa, no." You know, he was so shocked. I said, "Oh, that's too high." And then he began to say, "No, no." And he told me about all the other quotes he has had. He said, "Man, bless you, God." He said, "I'm on a fixed income." But I said, "Man, listen, we are neighbors. I don't live in this neighborhood, but we are neighbors in this world. And God gives us to look out for one another at times. And I just feel it's my time to just look out for you." And so when I came back to do the job today, my son was ended up with me. And one of his neighbors came over while we was doing the work and didn't realize that the backyard had gotten out of control. Was seeing about him because he had some of us putting the leaves and stuff in a pile to be picked up by the other garbage people. And in that process of that, just doing that, what I could have charged him, the neighbor across the street, said, "Hey, would you just cut my front yard? No problem." And I gave her this, you know, and she hurried up and gave me the money. But that allowed me to pay my son top dollar for working with me today, just doing those two jobs alone. So God knows how to bless you and keep you going. I'm saying that to tell somebody, I don't care what your circumstance is, what your situation is, when you are kind to other people, it's worth it. And God rewards you in the end by allowing somebody else to come and help you. And just so happened, a new customer after that. So doing one favor gave me new customers. Doing one favor gave me new customers. And so I'm just saying this to encourage somebody. Never underestimate what you're doing for the Lord. Never underestimate what you're doing to be neighborly to someone. Because God knows what you need, when you need, how you need. And he knows how to reward you in the right time. And God will do it. All I can say is, I'm thanking the Lord because I went from 3 weeks, went from having business that doubled, had car troubles, issues that seemed like it was going to hinder me from making money, and it did for a week. But everything that I missed in that week, God has already given it back. And the business is still growing. So how can I complain? The Bible said, in all things give thanks unto God. In all things. I was cutting my yard and something flew out and bust my window. And my brother's partner that's over the part of the electrical part of the business that I do work for, when he saw it, he said, congratulations on your new truck. And when he said it at the time, it literally just went over my head. I said, huh? You know, what you mean? And he repeated it. Congratulations on your new truck. And I'm like, why you say that? And he said, your window busted. I said, yeah, I'm going to get it fixed. I just had to tape it up, blah, 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 you know, a little fill-in. He said, nah, that just means God's ready to bless you. And in my mind at that moment, I didn't fully receive it. I believed it. I understood what he was saying. But in my mind, I was still trying to figure out how to fix that vehicle. And the day that it broke down, the night before, I gathered my money together to make sure I have enough money to pay the guys in the shop to repair my transmission. The car broke down, would not start. One thing happened after the other after another, right there in my driveway. I said, okay, Lord. And each of these times when the window was bust, I said, God, I thank you with my window, not the ones else. When the car, I said, God, I thank you. You're rewarding me from some type of accident or incident. So, God, I thank you. And each time these things would happen, I found myself just praising God and saying thank you. Now, I've been practicing doing that for years. But this particular time, it began just to flow freely. And so I was just saying thank you. Now, still in my mind, I've forgotten what the other man of God who has spoken to my life that a new truck was coming. I didn't, in my mind, I'm like, I'm doing all I can to try to make this truck run right. Because for a moment there, I forgot and was looking in my hand, forgetting that I was in God's hand. Thank you, Jesus. And oftentimes, glory to God, we as human beings, sometimes we forget because we examine our lives by our own inabilities and capabilities. And we look at our circumstances and our situations, and we judge them based on our knowledge, our abilities. And every now and then we still have to remember that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein, that we are a product of a living God that loves us. Every now and then we have to remember that our Heavenly Father knows that we have needs. Thank God for desires at times that he grants us, but he knows we have needs and he knows how those needs unfold. And so when I began to thank God for a closed door, here it is. I was about to spend the money I saved on trying to fix a vehicle that God was saying that time was up. It's time for something else. And so I thank God for that closed door. Because had not those troubles happened, I'd have went on and tried to repair that and been dealing with that vehicle when God had something totally different prepared for me. When I brought my 300, my Chrysler 300 years ago, the day that I bought it, I was heading home, and I heard the Lord speak to my heart, telling me to go to the car lot and get a car. And I drove past the car lot and turned on the street to come down the road to where I lived. And I heard the rebuke of the Holy Spirit saying, "You're not going to listen to me?" And I repented instantly. I said, "I'm sorry, Lord. I apologize. I did hear you say that." And I did my U-turn and went to that car lot that day. And I was tired. I had to work all night. I think I had to put in 11 hours. And I was tired. And so I went to the car lot, and they had some things that we was looking at. I was beginning to look at it, and I just wasn't complete with those. I wasn't satisfied. And I remember telling the sales manager, "Well, keep my number. When you get something in my price range, or something that's in the style that I want, I'll be back. You can call me and I'll come back and look at it." And I'm sorry, I was telling the salesperson that. And his sales manager, his manager came out as I was getting into the car before I pulled away. And he said, excuse me, sir. You don't have to leave here without what you need." And I said, "Well, I've asked your salesman this, that, and the other, but you don't have what I need." He said, "Sir, we have two that he hasn't showed you. They're in the back. One is in the back, and the other one is getting some brakes done." And we walked to the back, and I popped the hood, and I'm looking at it, making sure, because at that time we had that Christina storm, and I was making sure that I wasn't being passed on one of those vehicles that was flooded out. And I kind of saw a few corrosion areas. I said, "No, I don't want to mess with this. May have electrical issues later on." And I said, "Well, have a good day. Y'all got my number, call." He said, No, sir. I got one more. "You ain't got to worry about no brakes. We're taking care of that right now. It's on the rack. It's coming down. And it had low mileage, everything that we wanted in a luxury car."
Amen. What color was it?
Blue.
All right now.
And so here again, when it came down to getting this truck, my salesman was on another run with another customer. And the sales manager came out again. When we talk about testimonies, when you remember what God has already done, here again, the sales manager came out and took up the conversation with me. So I began to tell him what I was looking for and how much I was trying to spend, so on and so forth. He said to me, he named the car, the vehicle, the year, and all of that, told me the mileage on there. He said, "It only has X amount of miles on it." He said, "It's going to be more truck, less miles, better for your money." He said, you're trying to get a work vehicle. He said, I understand. I said, well, I'm just, and again, I was in that state, zoned in to what I thought. But I remember praying again, Father, not as thy will be done. I said, Lord, many times I'm looking for things smaller, and it was only when I stopped and asked you to have your way, you gave me bigger. Now, I got to put a pin right there to go all the way back to 2005 when we was looking for our house while we was living in an apartment. And we had got on the program, and we were getting this house that was being built from the ground up. We was involved in it. And it was one of those programs like Humana, Habitat, or Habitat, however it is, where people was involved in building the home. And it was going to be a real nice, we were there for every bit of it. But at the end of it, some things went way, way wrong. And in my mind, I'm saying this is a new house, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't caring about what side of town it was on, the neighborhood. I wasn't worrying about none of that. I was like, it's a new house. I'm going to move in with instant equity. And so that's what I was saying. But God closed that door. And a few months later, opened the door for the home that we're still in now. It's a 3-bedroom, just like that one. But these 3 bedrooms are bigger than that one. These 3 bedrooms all had walk-in closets. The thing that we had asked for as a family in a home, we had it. We had an above-ground pool. We had a real fireplace. And it was already decked out and trimmed with crown molding everywhere, chair molding all around the dining room and living room. So we lost a house that we thought that was God. But we had prayed, Lord, have your way. And it stopped. And I didn't get upset. I just said, God, I guess it wasn't meant to be. And the process, matter of fact, when we got this house, I was going to buy a truck then because I had just received another promotion on the job. And I was going to be a floating manager. So I needed dependable transportation. And so I was going to buy a truck then. And the salesperson who had closed out a deal with one of the other ministers at the ministry called me up. I said, well, you called me just at the nick of time. I'm about to buy me a truck. I said, well, my family and I, we were looking to buy a home, but I'm going to buy this truck. She said, can you hold up for a moment? And when we came and saw the house, the excitement between my sons and my wife and myself was just full of joy. It was everything we wanted. When she came, she got, because we got here before she did. So we walked around and saw everything. Through the windows and all of that. And once we walked inside, it felt like home. And we knew it was God because we was able to close within 30 days. And the issues that I thought that was going to hinder, or a issue that I thought that was going to hinder us from getting closing on the house, and I was trying to prove that I didn't owe. And the broker in the attorney said, "Mr. Bonnet, you don't need to send us anything else. We already got you approved, this and that." She said, "Did you read the letter that you sent us?" I said, "No, I didn't. I'm just trying to send you information to show you that I didn't owe that debt, that's money owed to me, but it's wrote wrong." She said, "Well, you don't never have to fight that no more." She said, "You sent me the letter from a judge." I said, "Oh, I guess I didn't read it." Now, prior before all of this, I was trying to clear that information up. Didn't realize that God had already sent me the information that I needed to prove that I didn't owe. And I had it in my hand all along. Sometimes you have things that God gives you and you don't even know you got it. And that was one of those instances where I already had my answer, just didn't know it. And so when the lady said, "I think you need to stop and read it," I just sat there and cried after I read it. I cried because I looked at the date on it, and I'm sitting there going, "God, this thing been worrying me, bothering me for months. I've been fussing with these people about I'm not owing. Y'all making me to look like a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I don't owe this money. This is what I'm overpaid. Y'all owe it back." And here it is. I had the judgment from a judge that had already cleared the matter, because I had already wrote a letter and asked for an audit. And they had already favored on my side. But sometimes we get caught up looking in our hands, looking at our abilities. Sometimes we get caught up and we get so focused on us. And it's like that little jar illustration earlier. We get so focused on the sand. We get so focused on the marbles till we forget to handle the big stuff first. I handled the big stuff first. I gave God my life. And so because I gave him my life, he helped me fill in the gaps, because there was many. And God will help you fill in the gaps. I don't know why the program went this direction tonight, but somebody who's listening, either live tonight or on the recording, you need to hear, this is not a time for you to quit. This is not a time for you to throw in the towel, but this is a time that you must stick and stay. The word of God says, "Silent, my brother, having done all that you can do to stand, stand." And for the most part, we think that's kind of an oxymoron type of statement, that it doesn't really make sense to say, having done all you can do to stand, stand. If I'd have done everything I can stand and I'm about to faint, how am I stand? He say stand. In other words, God has given us power in his word that after we done everything, stay still. Be still. See, the enemy wants to make us move. The enemy wants to make us do stuff premature or do things that God hasn't authorized for our lives. So once we've done all that we can do, that's the time when you rest in the Lord. Don't become restless, but rest in the Lord. And so this house came through within a month. They did so much work. And in a month, we was in our brand new home after being mistreated by
the previous deal. But we waited on God. And even when it came down to this vehicle, I didn't want to spend this type of money. But God has already shown me, son, the money means nothing. Just do what I want you to do. Because I had asked God, God, allow me to have a truck that I can work with. And when I unhook it from my trailer, that I can use that truck and still have something presentable when I go to other churches and minister, still have something that I can travel with. He gave me that and more. In my formal vehicle, I had already had it where my stereo system would allow me. My stereo system was a DVD player. So if we was traveling, we could watch movies, all of that. It allowed me to play songs from my phone, just so many things that I can do through that system. It had room for upgrade so that I could add the cameras to, so if I wanted to back up and see myself backing up, it had all of that. And in my mind, that scene was also planned in my head. But Brother Charles, can I tell you, without me asking a question about what was in the truck, everything sound-wise that was in the truck in my Ford is now in my Silverado, with the exception of that big old box. But the sound quality is just the same. Actually, it's a step above because I can control everything from the steering wheel. So God upgraded me without me even looking for that. He knew that part was important to me, something that I desire for me. Not that I needed it, but I just desired it because that's what I like. So he gave me everything in the truck, remote start, all of that. All because I dared to trust him. I don't know what challenges in your life today, sir, ma'am, you that are listening. But I want to challenge you to trust God. I know that don't no one want to start something and fail at it. Don't no one want to be made shame. Because it's shameful when you try to start something and you fail at it, you know, because we are people that have a level of pride. Now, all pride is not bad. I think you should take pride in your work. I think you should take pride in how you present yourself to others. You should never boast in pride. But I think you should have a level of pride that it matters how people see you. I think that's important because even Christ asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So if Christ was conscious of what people are saying about him, shouldn't we? So that level of pride is not one of badness or abuse, but it's one to make sure that you're doing what you should do, looking the way you should look. Your yes should be yes, your no should be no. And when you don't know, say so. So God gave me the Silverado that I have. And Brother Charles, I don't know how you're in the vehicles, but I'm close enough to it right now that if I crunk it here, you can hear the pipes on that thing growling. It has that type of sound to it. My brother, who's a truck guy, he got an F-150. He said, man, he said, when you left service the other day, he texted me. He said, when you left service, he said, I heard your truck. It made me want to take mine to the shop and get it fixed. He said, that's the sound I want. And so you have to be a truck guy to understand there's a certain sound. You know, you got some people that's in the Hemis, that certain growl that the engine makes. But there's a certain sound that comes from those pipes that a lot of people love that's into trucks. And all of this, I was looking in one direction. And what I was not looking, where I was not looking, God revealed. So that's my testimony again, the extended version. I know we have a program. I know I could have been sharing some other things, but I just felt in my heart that someone needed that. Hey, I'm a cogent preacher. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I'm a sanctified preacher. I'm a real preacher of truth. And I just felt the need to share with someone from my heart that believers, we go through stuff too. We have doubts, but when we allow our faith to press past our doubt, we see God's hand unfolding the gift that he had already prepared. Because when the sales manager told me, he said, we ain't brought it out yet. He said, but it's ready. We're supposed to have brought it out, but we didn't. And I said, well, can I see it? He said, well, when your salesman get back, I'll have him to bring it around to you. And when he brought it, I heard that growl. I was like, man, that's a real truck. Brother Charles, I tell you, man, God will open doors for you that you don't even know that's open. God will make ways for you that you didn't think. I want to share with somebody. In Church of God in Christ, we have what's called an affirmation of faith. It is a statement about what we believe. There's so many different religions, groups, faith, or so on. And a lot of times we go to churches and we go to places and we're not assured to what they really stand for or believe. And so one of the things about the Church of God in Christ is we have an affirmation of faith. This affirmation of faith we've been teaching for over 100 years. And it is a principle which we stand on. And so the church has this standing. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written word of God. We believe that. As a church, we believe that. We hold to that. As a body of believers, we hold to the fact, we stand on the principle that the Bible is the inspired, infallible written word of God, not the translations. I must throw that out there because you have some damnable, and I mean just that, you have some damnable translations out there. In other words, you have some translations out there that are straight out demonic. They've redirected what the word has truly said to fit their own private agenda. But we believe in the sacred scriptures. So we believe the Bible to be the infallible, the inspired and infallible written word of God, the Logos.
We believe that there is only one God eternally existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's our foundational belief. We further believe. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. Amen. We believe there's only one means of being clean or cleansed from sin, and that is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and an answer to the believer's prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost according to Acts, 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for him. We believe that the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling, the Christian, not the believer, is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. And those are our foundational teachings. We also go into teaching that in any of our Sunday school books or our literature books, you can find what our symbols stand for. You can find our statement concerning the Bible, our statement concerning the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, our statement concerning baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a teaching all by itself. We also do doctrine teaching on man, sin, salvation, angels, demons, the church, the second coming of Christ. Many people still have that confused. What do that mean? Is that second coming of Christ? Is that the same as the rapture of Christ or the rapture of the church? People don't understand that, so we teach that, what the second coming of Christ really is. We teach about divine healing because we believe that God still do divine healing. We believe that God still works miracles. Yes, miracles was written in the Bible times, and they are being performed and carried out in our time. We teach the ordinance of the church. One of the three ordinances of the church, or the three ordinances of the church, I should say, is the Lord's Supper, which we call communion, foot washing, which most churches do not do anymore. But I believe that as a body of believers that we should still participate in this act of foot washing, because one of the things that I think it did is it humbled us. It gave us a sense of true hospitality. And if I can humble myself enough to wash your feet, surely I can be humble enough to make sure you can eat and your family is taken care of. I can watch your bite. Amen. Watch. Amen. Oh, and water baptism. And these things are essential for the church. They are the foundational teachings of the church.
the church, the ecclesia, is the body of Christ. We was told by Christ to assemble ourselves together. We was told to make disciples. There are several things that Christ himself commissioned the apostles to do, that the work of will carry, be continually carried out. And so the church has purpose. The Bible talks about the bride of Christ. That's the body of Christ. And how God is coming back for her. How Christ is coming back for her. And the preparations that she need to be making. See, we do those things collectively. Oftentimes because we are men with clay feet. Our organizations can be structured well, but at times we can have faulty leaders. We can have leaders who take too much pride, get caught or lost in pride, and forget the mission. Kingdom success. Understanding kingdom success, understanding God's plan for his kingdom to thrive here on earth. I know that oftentimes we saw the song, when I get to heaven, amen. And we started talking about all the good things that's going to happen when I get to heaven. Well, I can't speak for many people, but I can speak from the black perspective. For us, being oppressed by a nation, our early fathers and grandfathers and mothers and grandmothers, they sung songs like that to give them hope that even if they never broke free of oppression here, that they will not have to be oppressed there. So they shift their eyes away from the trouble today and look towards the reward of tomorrow. And so songs like that help build hope. But when you have good teachers of the gospel, they was there to teach you that that's good to have hope for them. But God wants to bless you now. This is what Christ said. And I stand on this one statement and I can build from it as high as we want to go. Christ said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may, that's a conditional word, because it's conditioned on your faith, conditional on your involvement. But Christ said, I have come that you may have life. He didn't say that you may get to heaven. Now, you can read the scripture. If I'm wrong, tell me. but I don't believe I'm wrong. I read it for my one self. It is embedded in me. He said, I have come that you may have life, and this life, not that life, not the next life, but this life more abundantly. From that point on, don't condemn prosperity teachers, even those that have gone too far with it. Christ said that you may have life. Life is relevant. Life is relevant to what you're doing and what you need to do. And this life, which is also relevant based on your purpose. If you don't have no children, then you don't need what I need because I have children. If you don't have disabilities, then I don't, and I do, then you don't need what I need because I need what's going to help me to overcome these disabilities. So these things are variants on the individuals. That you may have life and this life more abundantly. More mean more. If I gave you two pieces of rice and you said, give me more, I can't sit there and go, huh? Give me more. What do you mean? No. How many on my plate? Two. Well, if you put some more on there, what's going to happen? I'm going to have more. Okay, thank you. Give me more. Why? I need more. I require more. So Christ says, I've come that you may have life and this life more abundantly. So if that's the statement of Christ, then many times we miss out because we don't understand that kingdom success is understanding what God wants me to do in the kingdom. Understanding what God will have me to do and to be in the kingdom. I can't be you, you can't be me. That's the beauty. God only anointed one Kenneth Bonnet. Even though I got a son who's named Junior, he's only anointed me to be me. Just like he's only anointed you to be you. No one can ever outdo you in being you. So stop being in competition with other people because there's no competition with being who God made you. You don't have to fight for identity when you simply be whom God created you to be. It's simple. Know who you are in God. Christ was able to overcome the devil simply because he didn't have to go, well, I'm the son of God, I'm the son of God, I'm the son of God. He didn't have to verify that. That was already given me. The simple fact that he was able to utilize kingdom principles was the proof that he is who he is. And even when the scribes and the Pharisees kept questioning him about his identity, he says to them, if you don't believe my words, in other words, I've answered you, I've given you an answer, and you still got questions, you still don't want to believe. It's just simple. Don't believe me no more. Believe what most of y'all believe anyway, and that's your own eyes. Believe what you see. Believe the works that I do. So in that, we see a direct rejection of who he is. Because when you don't even believe the proof that's right in front of you, then you have submitted to fallacy. You have submitted to a lie. You are allowing yourself to become deceived because you don't want to believe. The world that we live in today, God has proven himself to be God, but yet the world still say, where he at? Is he really real? Missionary Ken, if you came in my house now and you was a sighted person, and when you walk in the front door, you saw the big picture frame over my fireplace. And you would look at that and say, wow, it's beautiful pictures of a rose selection there. Man, that's nice. You would not say to me, how did that happen? You would not say to me that that somehow magically appeared through osmosis or through natural selection. There's nothing you would say to me other than asking me where you bought it so I can get me one similar. The mere fact that there's a painting there, it says that there was a painter. The painting itself shouts out, someone made me. When you look at the furniture in my home and you look at the design of the furniture, how they got the little, like the crown molding, the different levels of how it drops down, tapered down to give it a shape and a function, a look, a quality. You wouldn't say to me, man, where you get that tree from? The simple fact that this wood been cut, shaped, and stained says there was a designer. In life, everything that we see, we are able to declare that there are designers, there are makers. None of us see an automobile and say, wow, that appeared out the air. We simply ask, what maker made it? But it's so amazing how people will look at man and woman, human beings, and say, there's no God. There's no maker. The mere fact that we are here says there is a designer. There is a maker. So no one can rightfully say there's no God. There's no creator. You may question who the creator is, but you cannot question whether or not there be a creator. This simple existence speaks of intelligent design. And we can go on and on, but we're going to stop there because we're running to the end of our time. Kingdom success. The Bible says over And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Don't let no one just tell you something. And there's nothing wrong with people telling you something. But when the matters become life and death, when the matters become of importance, make sure the information adds up. Job 28, verse 20. He asked the question, whence come wisdom? Where it come from? And where is the place of understanding? Where did wisdom come from? And where's the place we find understanding? You find understanding when you truly seek for truth. And wisdom comes from God when you ask him to help you apply the truth. Verse 28 of chapter 28 of Job says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To reverence God is wisdom. To honor God is wisdom. It is wise, crazy about God. It is wise to submit to his all supreme authority. If he settles it, if he said it, that settles it. Amen. That's the wisdom. So, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That means when you realize you're doing something wrong and making a conscious decision to stop and to do right, that is understanding. That is repentance. It's to change your mind and go in a better direction. In a right direction. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that's the Lord, and he, the Lord, shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. It is also relentless obedience to the word and will of Almighty God. Relentless speaks to faithfulness. There's no success without being faithful to that aim or purpose. The obedience here speaks of doing the right thing even when no one sees or knows. For the kingdom of God, obedience is the key to real success. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Obedience is the key. True success is based on understanding that we are indefinitely loved, cared for by Almighty God. He loves us. Indefinitely. Even the sinner, even the atheist, God loves him. Even those of the alphabet community, he loves them. He loves the murderer. He loves the world. But just because he loves us doesn't mean he won't eternally punish us. It doesn't mean that he won't discipline us when we need it. Because a true father that loves his children properly disciplines them for their upbringing. Jeremiah 29:11, and we're closing. Christ, Father God was talking to Jeremiah, who really didn't know his place and was worried about a lot of things. He said to him in this particular text, he says to Jeremiah, now he started off in Jeremiah chapter 1 telling him, before I formed you, I knew you. So before you took shape in your mother's womb, God had already known you and me. So God knows us. But he goes on and shares in chapter 21, verse 11. He says, I know the thoughts, plural, that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts, plural, of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. One day, God delay is coming, Christ delay is coming. If the world decide, if God decide to let the world live another 100 years, pretty much all of us that are alive now that's listening will most likely be dead. We will be already in the grave. We will already have made it to our end. But when we get to the end of this life, we will find out that our end is truly the beginning. And this beginning will have no ending. And the way we end it will determine how we began. If we ended in sin, then our beginning will be the punishment for sin. But if we ended in Christ, reward will be the gift he promised for eternal life. Is just that simple. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I'm not here to judge anyone. I can't judge you. I can counsel you. I can tell you right from wrong. I can be that fruit inspector. But at the end of the day, we all belong to God, and it's up to him to make our final judgment. The question is, how will you be judged? Because you're going to be judged. We will be judged. But if we judge ourselves now, we don't have to fear the judgment to come later. If we get the big rock in the jar now, that's Christ, we don't have to worry about all the other gaps, because God going to fill all of that in for us in his due time. Thank you for sharing with us on tonight. Thank you for listening. We have so many of y'all on the line tonight. Thank y'all for sticking around to the end of the program. man, I am impressed. I'm thankful. I pray that something I shared tonight encouraged you. This is Motivational Monday. I don't want to depress you, but I want to encourage you to be who God wants you to be and to get what God has in store for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to be your source to all of your resources. Let it. Just let it. And watch your life become better. Thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you all. And Brother Charles, I thank you still on here. You have any last words for our listeners? I always want to give you an opportunity. And even Missionary Ken, once again, thank you for opening up the program for me on this evening. I do appreciate your labor of love and all that everyone is doing to help this program to be successful. Brother Charles, at this time, we humbly submit to your leadership. All right. Maybe Brother Charles' mic is mute on his line. He's open on the board. Missionary Ken, you have anything you'd like to mention? You'd like to advertise your program coming up?
Well, that was a good program for tonight. I appreciate the message. It was really good there, Pastor Bonnet. And we would like to encourage everybody this Thursday. We're going to be continuing with our book this Thursday, Baby Love by Katherine Anderson. And then this Friday, we are studying angels, and we're going to be talking about the angel of the Lord. We're going to be talking about that in specific this Friday. Everybody likes to wonder who the angel of the Lord is, and we're going to be specifically learning who the angel of the Lord is exactly from Scripture. So you'll want to join us here on Friday, as well as Ruth gives us her Bible prophecy. So you'll want to check that out, as well as the Wednesday night show for the Gospel Wednesday Night Bible Study as we ride the Bible bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network going through, and we'll have a good time. Amen.
Honey, you don't want to forget Tim Gruber tomorrow night, Word of the King.
All right.
Yeah, he's got a good program for you, too.
Amen. I tell you, we just, the Six Eyes Radio Network just have so much for our listeners to encourage them and to help them along the way. Hopefully you enjoyed our music. Most definitely, we hope you enjoy the messages that we send in love to you. And may God bless you. May God keep you. Once again, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. It has been a wonderful program. And from Brother Charles, we want to say thank you for joining the 6 Hours Radio Network. If you'd like to make any contribution to the program, you can always contribute through PayPal or Cash App. If you use the Cash App platform, it is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and 4. Or if you use the platform of PayPal, you can always type in the email address there, the 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And whatever God puts on your heart to contribute to this program or other programs from the 6 Eyes Radio Network is greatly appreciated. It is being sold on good ground. We thank you. May you have a wonderful and blessed evening. Sleep well, and may you have traveling mercy and grace on tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good night, all. We love you with the love of Christ.
Sleep good. Love everyone.